This is Access Radio Chicago, AM 750 WNDZ, Portage, Indiana, Chicago.
The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this radio program by the hosts, co-hosts, guests, and or callers do not necessarily reflect those of this radio station and its ownership. The following program, Golfers on Golf, is paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.
Welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio, hosted by Ed Stevenson, Phil Berger, Rory Spears, and Len Zien, Chicago's favorite foursome.
All right, it's 10 a.m. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio right here, AM 750 WNDZ. I'm Rory Spears, along with, we got the Hall of Famer in the house today, Len Zien. Decided he'd stop in for one more show before he heads back to the Sunshine State. Billy Berger is with us here today. Our fourth, Ed Stevenson, is out there working through weather situations as the DuPage Amateur trying to get underway at Maple Meadows and the Preserve Oak Meadows this weekend. And so hopefully they'll get all the golfers out there back on the golf course as soon as possible. Lenny, I'm sure there's probably a huge crowd of guys, if they're still trying to pull the course together, might be sitting in that brand-new preserve at Oak Meadows Clubhouse enjoying some of that fine food and beverage this morning.
Well, I hope those guys are able to get over there. I had kind of a long drive in in pouring rain today, so I tell you this, for my farewell in-studio appearance here, it was a memorable one. It was Nothing but downpour almost all the way from Gurnee. So I imagine the golf that's going to be played today is going to be on the soggy side in these parts.
Well, the other interesting thing is we are still waiting for the start of the championship match at the 122nd Women's Western Amateur. I've been out there a lot this week at Sunset Ridge Country Club, and I'll tell you what, it's just some amazing golf going on by these ladies. It's such a great tournament, and when you've been around for 122 years, what it means is that you've played pretty much every year over the last century plus. And, you know, Len and Billy, you know, some tournaments with a great long history to them, they got stopped in World War One or World War Two, or they even stopped because of COVID a couple years ago. But the Women's Western Amateur keeps right on rolling.
Yeah, that tournament has gone uninterrupted since 1901. That's amazing. You think that that's two world wars and all the other things that have happened that have stopped other golf tournaments. But the women keep playing. That's a tournament that has really, literally withstood the test of time.
Well, I'll tell you what, it should be an exciting match today once they get it underway at Sunset Ridge. 20-year-old Annabelle Pancake, who plays golf at Clemson, the daughter of Tony Pancake, the longtime head golf professional at championship venue Crooked Stick Golf Club there just northwest of Indianapolis, is one finalist. She will go up against a Tagleo Giravitaporn, a member of the Iowa State Cyclones women's golf team in Iowa. So both players have had an amazing week. But Pancake, due to the fact that she has won several of her matches in the match play with some lopsided scores, might be a slight favorite going into this match. But it'll be pretty exciting no matter how it turns out. And the officials out at the club are going to now, we understand, give an update on the start of that match around 10:30. So we'll pass that along as we get it. You know what? This week we have a couple of interesting guests on the program. We have John Riley, the author of the new book on legendary golf champion and past Western Open champion Porky Oliver, who had also a long history of working at the Wilmington Country Club, the site of this year's BMW Championship. and I got a chance to meet John out at the club on Media Day and talk a little bit about this book that's now won a couple of awards. So we'll have him joining us in a couple of minutes. And this Monday at on Wensia Club is the annual Illinois PGA Senior Masters Pro-Am, in which two of the local professionals get an award, a special kind of a career-type award that's voted on by the peers of the Illinois PGA section. And we're pleased to welcome in one of those winners this morning, Bob Malpede. Bob had a long golf career in Chicago. I know him from Stonebridge Country Club, also Stonewall Orchard, and most recently White Deer Run in Vernon Hills. And Len, I'm not sure. Did I miss any clubs? You've known Bob for a long time.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. Yesterday, in preparation for the show, I learned Bob and I have been good friends for back to the Stonebridge days. We've had couples dinners together. We've been socialized together. It's been a lot of fun. But I learned yesterday that his first job in golf, other than with his dad owned a Pistakey course out in the McHenry. But I learned that his first real job beyond that was in Stuttgart, Germany. 3 years in Stuttgart, Germany, and it was a golf gig over there. But I don't know any of my other club pro friends who have started their careers overseas. So that's something we'll have to figure out.
Well, Pistakey, a great little nine-hole course up in the Fox Lake area, built on a gravel pit. And people used to always say, well, Pistakey was the place to go after a rainstorm because it drained so quickly. And you know what? Bob and his parents, they kind of brought the Friday night fish fry, I think, to golf clubs. They'll always be remembered for that. I remember as a kid with my grandparents being up in the Fox Lake area on Friday night, Grandma and Grandpa used to take me to the fish fry over at Pistakey, which is probably where I first met Bob when I was maybe not even 10 years old. But Bob's been around in the golf business for a long time, and we look forward to talking to him and, of course, congratulate him on being selected as the one of the Illinois PGA Senior Masters winners for this year. So with that, we are going to take our first break, and we will be back with author John Riley right after.
The Mount Prospect Golf Club, that dates back to its founding in 1926, has been restored by Essler Golf to bring back some of the features of the great courses by the famous architects of that era. While most golfers will never get to play some of the famous private clubs of that era, at Mount Prospect, you get to play the holes that are styled after the classic hole designs like Redan, Punchbowl, Eden, Cape, and Baritz. Other improvements to the Mount Prospect Golf Club include the inside of the clubhouse and the pro shop, complete with a full line of apparel, golf balls, and more. The practice facility, a major improvement with a double-ended driving range. So if you're looking for a fun course to play or need a venue for a golf outing, call the Mount Prospect Golf Club at 847-259-4200. That's 847-259-4200. Or visit golfmountprospect.com. In 2022, the Erin Hills Golf Club in Erin, Wisconsin, located in the northwest suburbs of Milwaukee, will host this September its fourth USGA Championship when the USGA Mid-Amateur comes to Erin Hills. Erin Hills is already one of the only six U.S. Open courses that you can play. Erin Hills was built inside the club's 652 acres of land left by the glaciers of the Kettle Moraine era. This walking-only course gives the golfer a day to settle into the nature of central Wisconsin on this top 100 it rated in the country golf course. Erin Hills has overnight rooms above its Irish pub and several cottages with multiple bedrooms for groups. So if you want to spend the night before or during multiple rounds of golf, enjoy the overnight lodging at Erin Hills. Some examples of Erin Hills' fine beverages include the Erin Hills Pilsner or the Fescue Rescue that hits the spot on a hot summer day. But don't forget, test your putting skills on the new Drumlin putting course. For tee times and rooms in 2022 that are going quickly, call Erin Hills at 866 866-772-4769. That's 866-772-4769. And don't forget, visit AaronHills.com. This segment is sponsored by the Klein Creek Golf Club in Winfield, Illinois. Klein Creek now has a variety of memberships available. For more information, visit KleinCreek.com or call the club at 630-690-0101. And don't forget, check out the Klein Creek app.
All right, it is 10:10. You are listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Rory Spears, along with Len Zeme and Bill Berger in the studio this morning. And we are just trying to get connected with our first guest, John Riley, the author of How He Played the Game, Ed Porky Oliver, Golf's Greatest Generation. Oliver, a past Western Open champ, and also spent a lot of time as a professional at this year's BMW Championship site that benefits the Western Golf Association and the Evan Scholars Foundation. And so I got to learn a little bit about Ed Porky Oliver during my time at BMW Media Day. And Billy, you said you know a little bit. You probably maybe have even met Ed Oliver over the years. What can you tell us about him from what you know?
Well, one thing, Ed Porky Oliver was a very good player. He was a top player for a while in his day. There was no question about it. And talking to Len, he actually won, I'm almost positive, in the early 50s at Tam O'Shanter. And, you know, a little bit of history on Tam O'Shanter, they had the first $100,000 tournament. You know, about the money has always been a subject, a heavy subject in golf. The deal was if you won Tam, you got $50,000, and you did 51,000 exhibition matches after that. So a lot of the old-time players, they didn't like that at all, and some of them won and refused to play the 50 $1,000 exhibitions. And what's so funny is I don't know who I thought I was. I came from Northeastern Ohio, and I played in the last qualify at Tam O'Shanter, and I think it was 57. And I was paired with Johnny Revolta and the leading money winner was from Texas. I'll spit his name out in a second.
Van Hogan. No.
No. Van Hogan would not play, Len.
He
would
not
play. Because George S. May, owner of the golf course, they wanted to wear a number, and Ben Hogan said he wouldn't wear a number. So he never played at Tam, Ben Hogan. Everybody anywhere played in that tournament. So I got, being from out of state, I was late for my tee time. And so my twosome had not hit their second shot, so to speak. And they said, well, somebody dropped out in this threesome behind. And it happened to be with Johnny Revolta. And so walking off the first tee at Tam, crossing the Chicago River, is this real narrow bridge. And then I hear all this thunder behind me. And they're all, because of Revolta and the other Texan, the gallery was humongous. And there was no ropes in those days. I mean, that gallery come and stood right on top of you. So that was quite a day, trying to get into the first tournament I ever tried to get into. That was something I'll never forget. But getting back to Porky Oliver, right before that, maybe in 54 or 5, he won. And he was always in the top five money-wise, you know, and quite a character. He was a funny guy, likable, and was really a good player. You know, I never played with him or saw him hit balls many times, and he always drew a crowd, Gowrie loved him. He always had something to say to somebody, kidding somebody, or same with the players, you know. He loved people, so he was good for golf. There's no question about it. Porky was a real celebrity.
And I think he liked the ponies. That's my understanding. He was a Western Open champion who liked the ponies and was a colorful guy.
That's right.
A fun guy in a different era of golf touring pros.
You know, it seemed all those guys, their relaxation was, you know, well, you're traveling, and the only place so open a lot of times is the racetrack or the dog track at night if you're in Arizona or Florida. So everybody was a participant of the racetrack in the daytime and the dog track at night, you know. So that went with the program.
Well, when you look at the book by John Riley, how he played the game. You look at some of these endorsements for Porky Oliver that came from various players over the year. Matter of fact, even Red Smith, the Pulitzer Prize winning sports writer, Jackie Gleason even chimed in on him. But there's a lot of comments and thoughts from Ken Venturi, Ben Hogan, Gene Saracen, Sam Snead, Charlie Sifford, Jackie Burke, Peter Thompson, Dow Finsterwald, and Bob Toski. So, you know, obviously Porky's game had a lot of influence on a lot of other great players of the generation.
Yeah, there's no question about it. They all knew he had a golf game, and I'm sure they thought of him, as a top player. And like I said, he was such a character and a likable guy. He drew humongous galleries all the time, you know. A lot of times the tournaments in St. Pete and Southern Florida, you know, you had everybody down there at that time. Now Florida's a normal state like anybody else, have had young people and families are raised. But it was only upper retirees, so a big gallery in Florida in the late 50s was the old timers that could walk a few holes. So, and Oliver always seemed to have the most of a gallery. You know, if you want to say, he may have been the Arnold Palmer of that day, because they loved to follow Porky to watch him and comment and play, you know.
Well, being a Florida resident now, it's a little different down there. I'm the oldest guy there now.
How's that feel?
Yeah, I tell you, they still have a few good tournaments there, the Players' Championship and Honda Classic. The Florida Swing, they call it out there. They have a Valspar tournament and the Arnold Palmer Invitational going along with Honda and... It's a good little swing, but it's not quite the way it used to be. It's getting shuffled around, so the tournaments aren't together and all that. But I bet you in Porky's day that would take over the sports news of the entire month of February, March, because spring training wouldn't have gotten there. Golf would have been wouldn't have had the other sports as prominent as they are now, but. The colorful players were the lifeblood of the game back in that era. Yeah.
Well, Oliver won the Western Open in 1941, shortly before the, World War II, which was sort of underway in Europe, but hadn't quite yet affected the United States, and that was one of the last great summers of golf, at least men's golf anyway, before the war, started. But the one tournament that we touched on at the top of the show, the Women's Western Golf Association, they also had a Women's Western Open at the time, but the Women's Western Amateurs in its 122nd year, it is being played this year at Sunset Ridge Country Club in Northfield. The championship match is still under delay. We hope to know more about when they're going to start in about 10 minutes or so. But, guys, I got to tell you, it's been it's just amazing to go out there and watch some of these ladies play. I'll tell you what, there are some of them who hit the golf ball a long way. I spent part of the week walking around with a few of the members, I think, who were still in shock of what they were seeing, you know, out of 19, 20, 22-year-old ladies who can just bomb the golf ball. And the golf, you know, obviously great quality golf. And, you know, unfortunately, this morning's match is delayed due to weather, but we'll have to hope they get it in. But, Len, I know that you've been out at the Women's Western Amateur over the years, and I'm sure every year you just see how the ladies at these college-age girls, for the most part, just seem to get better all the time.
Well, the nice thing about the Women's Western Amateurs, the Women's Western Golf Association, use Chicago courses for lots and lots of those tournaments. So I remember seeing Jane Bast and Cherry Booth was the first one that I remember seeing playing back at Flossmoor Country Club in the mid-70s, I believe it was. And our friend Susie Wagner and I, we got to meet each other there, and I've had a good friendship with that tournament and golf in general for ever since that time. Golf this next week, though, we shouldn't forget about this one. We have the Illinois Women's Open coming up beginning on Monday at Mistwood in Romeoville. I don't know the field too well, but I know that can't imagine Nicole Jure not being out there. She's playing right now in the Illinois Senior Women's Open in Dayton, and hopefully she's going to do well there and carry momentum right back into her own home course when play begins here next week.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Illinois Women's Open is always an exciting tournament, and the staff at Misswood does such a wonderful job getting that course together. And we always got to plug our good friends at Mistwood, but it is a great operation out there. And Len, you knew him well. You know, Jim McWethy always had a commitment to excellence, and I believe that his family and the staff still carry on you know, many of the ways how they do things just the way Jim would have wanted them to do it.
Jim was a huge supporter of the tournament. Of course, it was started by our friend the late Phil Kozin, who was a recent in the recent induction, most recent induction class into the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame. But the Kozin family has been behind that tournament even since Phil passed on. And you know, it's a tournament that has changed format a little bit more in recent years at Mistwood. I think this year it's going to be a 2-round 36-hole no-cut event. So we'll have to see how that plays out. A little different than the usual 54 holes that we've seen in the past on it. But it might be a good idea. We'll just have to see what unfolds this week.
Well, and one other thing that unfolded this past week was the Illinois State Amateur Championship. You were out at Westmoreland over in Wilmette to see that. And a young man, a Hinsdale resident that attends the University of Iowa, Mac McClure, who's sort of had this tournament on his radar for several years, finally broke through and took the title, and he went wire to wire to do it. But tell us a little bit more about what you saw at the State Amateur.
Yeah, you know, that was a funny State Amateur. It was the first one. It amazes me. This for the 91st playing of that tournament, and this was the first time the State Amateur was ever played on a course on the North Shore. But, yeah, it sounds like Mac was – it would sound just a face value that Mac was the whole show there. It wasn't quite like that, because in the final, it was really a strange ending to it. Mac opened a 5-shot lead after 3 rounds. It's a 72-hole tournament played over 3 days with a 36-hole final day. And as safe as his lead appeared, it wasn't. He gave up virtually the whole lead in the first 9 holes of the final round. Then came back, got red hot. Tommy Cool from the University of Illinois was his only real challenger at the end there. And Tommy was tied for the lead into the back nine, and then he fell apart. But he had a chance to win at the 18th tee, and he was playing in the group in front of Mac. Unfortunately for Tommy, he made double bogey at 18 and made it kind of a comfortable walk down the final fairway for Mac. But it was an up and down tournament. Other players certainly had a chance to win. It sounds like, you know, with the wire-to-wire aspect of it, that Mac was the whole kit and caboodle there. But it wasn't really the case. It was a good state amateur and a good champion.
Yeah, well, it's always some good golf played at the Illinois State Amateur, and you know, last few years they've played it at some great golf courses, and so you know, kudos to the CDGA on you know, putting together that championship. I believe it's going to be down at the Bloomingdale Country Club, Bloomington Country Club. And Len, I think the tournament was held there for a lot of years, wasn't it, some years back?
Yeah, you know, that the CDGA has a real good relationship with the Bloomington Country Club, and it's one of those events that it's hard to really move that away from the Chicago area, because so much the bulk of the players are from here. But Bloomington Country Club has hosted a lot of good, it's Central Illinois, it's not that far away, but it's hosted a lot of good tournaments. It's hosted Illinois Opens and Illinois Amateurs, and I think it's going to be a good thing for the tournament to go back over there to get more to the downstate players.
Well, I'll tell you this, Len and Billy, I think that this is kind of an exciting couple of weeks here. Not only have we had the state amateur this week and the women's Western amateur this week, but you have the Illinois Women's Open next week, followed by both the Illinois Open for the men and the Western amateur over at Exmoor. The Illinois Open will be played at White Eagle Golf Club in Naperville. And so, you know, the next few weeks, there's really some exciting tournament golf in town. And if you want to go out and, you know, watch people play, there's plenty of places to do it without the big dollar markup.
That's true. And before the month is out, before August is out, we have the Illinois PGA Championship following up at McRae Memorial, a new site. It's going to be interesting to see how the club pros take on a course that really hasn't been tournament tested for quite a while. So, this is kind of the highlight of the tournament season within Illinois. I mean, we're going to have, of course, a Live Tour event in September, but the local guys, their biggest titles are on the line now.
Okay. Well, it is 10:28. We are going to take our next break, and we'll be back with Illinois PGA Senior Master winner this year, Bob Malpede, right after this.
This segment was sponsored by the Klein Creek Golf Club in Winfield, Illinois. 18 holes of golf and home to the Pier 19 restaurant in the clubhouse. The Klein Creek Pavilion for large groups, weddings, and more. Don't forget, visit KleinCreek.com or call 630-690-0101. And don't forget, check out the new Klein Creek app. The Misswood Golf Club on Renwick Road in Romeoville is one of the Chicago area's top-rated public golf courses. Misswood's commitment to excellence continues under the McWethy family, both on and off the golf course. The Ray Hearn design not only hosts the Phil Kozen Illinois Women's Open every July, but other tournaments all season long. The professional staff is one of the largest in the area, so for lessons, club fittings, Mistwood is the place to go. Mistwood has been rated a top 100 fitting location in America by Golf Digest magazine. So golfers, go enjoy a day of Mistwood golf and then cool down in McWethy's Tavern or dine outside on the pub's patio. Make your tee time today by calling 815-254-3333. That's 815-254-3333. Or visit mistwoodgc.com. And don't forget, now try out Mistwood's new honey from the bee farm at Mistwood Farms. Heritage Oaks Golf Club at 3535 Dundee Road in Northbrook is no longer your father's sportsman's golf and country club. Heritage Oaks is not only a new name, but it's a brand new clubhouse complete with a stylish pro shop and the Acorn Grill, a great place to enjoy food and beverage before and after golf with your choice of both indoor and outdoor dining. Located adjacent to the bar is the new simulator room with two simulators that make golf, golf lessons, and club fittings a year-round option at Heritage Oaks. The new putting green is over double the size of the previous one, and the driving range is both double-sided and has the famed TrackMan technology. So if you like to get all of your stats and numbers that you need to know about your game, you can do so now with the help of TrackMan. Heritage Oaks is a 27-hole golf facility, so whether it's playing the 18-hole classic course or the legacy 9-hole course, come out and play the new Heritage Oaks Golf Club with new greens, tees, and fairways by calling 847-291-2351. That's 847-291-2351. Or online, visit heritageoaksgc.com. All right, it is 10:31. I'm Rory Spears. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. With me in studio today, we have Bill Berger and also Len Zeem making another appearance here before he heads back to the Sunshine State later this week. But Lenny, I know one of the places that you and I are going to go on Monday, and that's the Onwensia Golf Club up in Lake Forest for the annual Illinois PGA Senior Masters, where a couple of longtime Illinois PGA pros get an outstanding award voted on by their peers, which always makes it a little more special. And we're fortunate to have one of the winners of this year joining us now on the line. And Len, you've known him for a long time. I'll let you introduce him.
Well, of course, I've known Bob, Bob Malpete, for back in his days at Stonebridge when Michael Jordan was playing in tournaments over there. But, Bob, we just wanted to have you on to talk about the fish fries that you were so famous for. I tell you, this is a great honor for you on Monday. I know you and Kevin Fitzgerald are being honored as for all your career in golf, and I congratulate you for sure. I know this is a big day for you, and I'm looking forward to being part of it.
I'm looking forward for both of you to be there, Rory and Len. And hello, Bill. How are you? Yeah, it's a great honor, and I'm excited about it. It's something I didn't expect.
Well, I tell you, I thought I knew you pretty well, Bob, until yesterday. I did not realize that one of your very first, probably your first job as a pro, wasn't. We're not talking about Pistacchi. We're talking about Stuttgart, Germany. And I don't know of any of my other club pro friends who started their careers internationally. So I don't know. What's the story of that? What were you doing over there?
You know, I went over there after I got out of North Texas State to go visit my brother, who was a military officer at the time running the Stuttgart Golf and Ski Club. And I ended up staying there, ended up working for the U.S. government there at the golf course, and it was quite an experience. You know, got to play quite a bit over there, and even won a small little tournament, the Stuttgart Open, over there many, many years ago. So that was the start of my career, I guess you could say.
Well, if you're the Stuttgart Open past champion, you think that would create a you certainly had some great runs at some big name clubs in California, and to say nothing of Chicago. You've put in your time, haven't you? I know that.
Yeah, I was fortunate to work for some great people: Ken Henry, Schirmfinger, Ron Rhodes at Riviera, Eddie Marins at Bel Air. You know, you learn a lot from people like that. And I was very fortunate in my career to be able to work under those great people. And certainly helped in, you know, getting me forward in my career, as we know.
Well, I've got to think that the maybe the most, certainly in the profile thing, was your time at Stonebridge when the famous round, their pro-am round with Arnold Palmer and Michael Jordan unfolded there. I remember I was there. That was a huge crowd, and for just a pro-am, they didn't have as many people at the tournament as they had that day. But, boy, I tell you, that took the Chicago sports pages for at least a day, didn't it?
Yeah, I remember when that's when we met, I think, Len, maybe the first time that we got together. And, no, what a day that was. You know, it was a successful event, the Ameritech Senior Open. They had crowds and every day out there. But that day was something special. You know, I think I remember they flew him in on a helicopter, didn't they, Michael Jordan?
I think that's right. Yeah, Borrari is seconding that. So I wasn't positive, but I believe you're right.
Yeah, and everybody was anxious to see that when they walked on that first tee. What a crowd. I mean, it was, you know, 10 deep every hole all the way around. And it was fun to watch. And, of course, Arnold Palmer, who was just a fantastic ambassador to the game of golf, playing with the world champion Michael Jordan. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, Bob, you know, I got to tell you, there was some crowd estimates that day of around 18,000 people, basically to follow, you know, close to one group, a pro-am event, and there was some debate that went on by various golf publications for a while that suggested it might have been the largest crowd to ever come out and see a pro-am, especially for, you know, at the time it was called the Senior Tour before it was called the Champions Tour, but it maybe the largest, you know, one-day pro-am crowd might have been, you know, right there in your backyard.
Oh, absolutely. We had heard numbers closer to the 40,000 person range for the tournament. So, no, it was crazy. A lot of people and a lot of excitement generated. You know, being also, you know, publicized or the tournament was on CBS, I believe, and Ken Venturi was there. And no, it was a lot of fun those days there at Stonebridge.
Yeah, were you there when the LPGA had its run with the Kellogg-Keebler Classic? I mean, they had Annika Sorenstam won that twice, and Carrie Webb the third year before it moved on. But pretty good list of past champions there.
Yeah, they it's a good golf course. Tom Fazio design, and it was really special. Even with the homes, it still was a great golf course out there. I was not there during the PGA, the LPGA. I had just left that year before. But no, they had a good run. They had a really good run out there.
Hey, Bob, tell us a little bit about Pastakee. I remember summers staying out with my grandma and grandpa at times that had a Shell station out there at Grand Ave and Wilson Road and Ingleside. And, you know, on Friday night, they used to take us over to Pastakee for the fish fry. And, you know, everywhere I go now where I see one of these Friday night fish fries, I can't help but think of you and your family, because I got to believe that you people at Pastakee sort of launched that whole concept. And you got to have some pride in the fact that, you know, here we are 50 years later and clubs are still doing it.
Yeah, you know, it was really a lot of fun. With my grandmother was cooking in the kitchen, you know, being an Italian, she was in the kitchen. My dad was out front. You know, all of us, you did everything there. But that fish fry, boy, was it popular. We had people standing in line. Back then we served perch. I know now it's a lot of cod, but it was perch back then. And no, it was really good. It was a lot of fun.
Well, you know, Bob, Pastakee, now if I recall correctly, nine-hole course, possibly built on a gravel pit. I remember, I think my grandfather telling me, he says, oh, don't worry if it rains, because of where it's built, 30 minutes after a rainstorm, you can always go out and play.
Absolutely correct. That had the best drainage of any golf course I've ever seen. No matter how much like the rain we had today, I'm sure they're open where a lot of these courses are closed today. So, no, it was a fun experience growing up there, having a nine-hole just to practice and play every day. And and following my dad's lead, you know, my dad was one of my great teachers. I watched how hard he worked and how friendly he was to the customer. And I think I carried that on in my career. I knew how important it was to be, you know, outgoing and friendly to everybody that walked through the door, to shake a hand or pat someone on the back. No, it was a great time there. Learned a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bob, I got to ask you a little bit about your time after Stonebridge, because you decided you wanted to try to get into basically owning your own golf course. And the hunt started, the search started, and you finally, after some time, tell us about the story about how one of the most popular public courses in the Chicagoland area, at least especially up in Lake County, Stonewall Orchard, came to be only because of your efforts and hard work to try to make that happen.
I did. I found some land out there. The Sargent family owned a 200-some acre piece of land, and I was able to meet with them and to talk to them, and we put together a partnership with the Hamilton Partners, and I was able to become a partner out there with them and bring in Arthur Hills. You know, I interviewed quite a few architects, but Arthur seemed to be kind of the guy we wanted to bring in. He was a person that could, you know, had visualized the land and what it could be, and I think we built a great place out there. It's still today. I just played there 2 weeks ago, and it's just as fun to be out there as it's ever been. And I'm very proud of that, to be part of that and be a partner there.
Well, I can tell you, Bob, that you know, one of my coworkers at Heritage Oaks Golf Club, the former Sportsman's in Northbrook, he's still in high school, but his family is moving from Northbrook, and they have a house now that's going to be looking out on one of the holes of Stonewall Orchard. And he came to me and said that he was hoping that he could get a job there. And he says, from what I've seen from my parents' house, he goes, it looks like a really nice golf course, and was really excited to be moving there. And I think some of our professional staff was going to make a phone call and hopefully place one of our workers and a good hard worker up at Stonewall Orchard. And he was looking forward to trying to get a job there and start working there. From what he saw, he said it looks like a great place.
It is. It's fantastic. Any help I can give him, I certainly would be happy to. But you know, the industry today, as we all know, everybody's looking for people. It's a real rough time in our industry today with the shortage of professionals as well as just trying to find kids in the summer to work. It's not an easy time.
Well, of course, you had a long run there at White Deer Run. I didn't know you. You sure not going to get beckoned back by some course somewhere or other? I mean, you're not that old, my friend.
I've had some conversation, and we'll just leave it at that. I, you know, it's been a long time, about 40 years in my career, and it's time to step back, I think, and just remember all of the good times and have some time to spend with my wife, who is nice to be around, as you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Do you have some golf-related plans for down the road? I mean, just kind of long-range kind of things you still want to do in the game?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're going to travel this fall. I hope to visit Reynolds Plantation in Georgia this fall. And
one of my favorite places.
Yeah, I've never been there, and I know it's a good place. I've got some reservations there, and I hope to get over to Savannah and play in that area too. But as far as traveling international, as I've done, which was a great experience, you know, I'm looking today at the Evian Women's LPGA that, you know, I played that golf course with my wife, and and last week at the old course, played there three different times. And even this week at Glen Eagles, we ended up the year we were engaged over there at Turnberry, my wife and I. We ended up, the whole group ended up there for a couple rounds of golf, part of the tournament. So, no, I've had a lot of great travel experiences, and golf has meant a lot to me. It's you're right. It's a lot of wonderful times, and I'm happy to have done what I've done, and I've been very lucky.
Well, Bob, I got to tell you, I know you'll enjoy Reynolds Lake Oconee, as they sort of call it these days. Numerous golf courses there, and the Jack Nicklaus course, Great Waters, is an absolute joy to play. Some of the outstanding views. They took out some trees, and when you get up on some of those tee boxes, the views you get around the lakes and the properties are really good. Make sure you stop over not only in the Ritz-Carlton there, but over in the Tavern Pub. You will really enjoy that next to one of the golf courses there. And Len, our good friend Ray Hearn has been doing renovation work at the Savannah Georgia Country Club. That's an old classic. And Bob, hopefully by the time you get down there, that course will be reopened for play. I've seen some pictures, and it's an outstanding golf venue.
Oh, fantastic. Sounds like a good place to play.
Well, Joey and I, we're going to be heading out this week and are working our way slowly back to Florida, our new place in Florida. But along the way, we have a stop at one of the places that Rory and I have visited. I'm not sure you've been to French Lick, Indiana. We've got a stop there next week, and then we're going to test out a few locations. I don't know what they're going to be yet, but the Georgia Golf Trail has 20 courses on its list, which is maybe the biggest golf trail, in the country. I don't know what would be bigger, but anyway, our paths can cross down the road in those kind of locations easily. I think it sounds like you want to go out there. That's a good place to play a lot of golf.
That would be a lot of fun. I know we'll see each other for sure in January at the show. And
right.
We talked a little bit about my time at White Deer Run. That was quite a run there, 16 years, and being part of that facility, the Pelote family, then just recently taken over by Heritage Golf Group. Good group of guys. They own a lot of great courses and manage a lot of great courses. So, but you know that fish fry there, Len, that was pretty good, wasn't it?
That was pretty darn good. The trouble with that one is it wasn't always being held. You had too many other things going on over there, but. And Friday night fish fries, it should be a year-round thing in my book. You know how I feel about those. But I had a lot of fun at White Deer Run all the way around, though.
We were so busy there finally on Fridays and stuff. We just, with outings and tournaments, it's just too difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bob, I got to tell you, I remember being up at White Deer Run with Len, and I played some golf, and we were sitting in the bar and grill area there, and I believe it was the Monday or Tuesday after the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. That probably was Tuesday, because I think they had a Monday 18-hole playoff with Tiger Woods and Rocco Mediate, and the news finally got out that, in essence, Tiger was playing on a broken leg, and that's where Lenny and I got the news, was sitting in your clubhouse over there at White Deer Run, enjoying one of those great cheeseburgers.
What a story, huh? That day at the U.S. Open. What an incredible round of golf.
Well, Bob, who do you got speaking on your behalf Monday at on Wednesday during the luncheon? And are you going to come out and tee it up with me? Len's got a race out of there, but I'm going to play some golf.
Well, we'd love to have you in our group. I've got an opening there in the group, Rory, if you're wanting to play.
Well, I think I'm penciled in.
You're probably already set, I'm sure.
But I was hoping you'd get out and hit the golf ball around, and see you on the golf course.
I'd love to. I hear they had 5 inches of rain in Lake Forest this morning. I hope they're going to be open.
Well, I tell you, we spent last night a little, well, north of that. We spent the night in Gurnee last night, and with some family issues, and we had a really hard drive into the Chicago studio here today. They've just poured rain. I'm glad I left a lot of extra time, because this is my last Bob. This is my last on the air show of the season with Rory and the Golfers on Golf Gang, and it'll be a memorable one, because it was white knuckle driving to get here.
Well, it was quite a morning, wasn't it? That lightning, and I feel sorry for the golf course. You never want to lose a Saturday, but I know there's a lot of courses closed today.
Well, I know that they are still in weather delay at Sunset Ridge Country Club before the championship match for the Women's Western Golf Association National Amateur Championship. The players were supposed to tee off a little over 3 hours ago, and obviously it looks like they do not yet have a time for when this match will hopefully start today. We were hoping it will still start today, even if it's this afternoon, but if not, maybe they'll get them underway first thing tomorrow morning. But Bob Malpede, thanks so much for joining us here on Golfers on Golf Radio. Congratulations on winning a Illinois PGA Senior Masters Award, and we'll look forward to seeing you at On Wednesday on Monday.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to seeing you all there. Thanks again.
Congratulations.
All right. It's 10:49. We're going to take a quick break and hear from our friends at DuPage Golf.
DuPage Golf has reinvented the nature of golf in Chicagoland. After extensive renovations, the Preserve at Oak Meadows is reborn as a new, award-winning 18-hole golf course, practice facility, and environmental haven. The reviews are in. The Preserve at Oak Meadows joins the ranks of top courses in the country on Golf Week's Best You Can Playlist and is the winner of Golf Digest's Green Star Award and Golf Inc.'s Renovation of the Year. Visit DuPageGolf.com to book a tee time. Learn more about the Preserve at Oak Meadows at DuPageGolf.com.
All right, it is 10:50, Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Rory Spears along with Len Zeem and Bill Berger here in studio, and our good friend Ed Stevenson probably working with the staff out there at Maple Meadows and Preserve at Oak Meadows, trying to do what they can to get the DuPage Amateur launched today. And, you know, Lenny, we're hoping that you're still going to pop on as you travel to a few places on the way back to Florida and join us for a few more shows with some live updates as the Z Machine runs back to Florida.
Yeah, you know, that's worked out pretty well because I've, you know, a lot of times we've talked for some of from some of the travel destinations that we've been hitting, golf travel destinations. That's what I really like to do the most now is to do travel stories, golf travel stories, and we've visited some great places, and can bring the message back to Golfers on Golf, as well as stay attuned to the golf scene away from the Chicago area and where it merits some attention. So, you know, it's funny how my role has changed in Chicago golf, having moved to Florida, because now I'm at the heart of the golf season in December and January and in February when the LPGA and PGA Tour are either finishing a season or getting another one going. So I'm looking forward to moving on, but it's been a great, great summer for me in the golf world here. And being on the show has been, as always, remains a lot of fun. Looking forward to more shows.
Well, Lenny, Monday night, I believe, there's a special event in town, and you're going to be out there at the awards ceremony.
Yeah, the first ever Hall of Fame induction ceremony by the Illinois Junior Golf Association is at Cantini, and this is going to be a nice thing. Kevin Streelman, the PGA Tour player who grew up in Wheaton and played a lot of his youth golf at Cantini, will be somewhat the feature inductee, but there are others who are going in, and it's starting another nice tradition for the Chicago Golf Community. Illinois Junior Golf Association has been in business since Mike Spinello started it in 1967, and he's among the honorees for this one. So I'm looking forward to Monday night a lot. It's going to be a chance to see some more old friends that have done a lot for golf in the Chicago area.
Well, Len, one other thing that's really sort of found itself again was walking golf here during the pandemic, especially during a time when some states wouldn't even let you take golf carts out because they were afraid of touch points. But you and I, in the past week, we had an opportunity to work with Mark Stewart, of CEO of Stewart Golf from over in Great Britain. And you know what? We got out with what they call the trolley. It's not a push cart or a pull cart over there. They call them trolleys, but this fully remote cart, it was kind of interesting. You got to try it out at the Glen Club. I got to try it out at Cantini, a couple of the courses run by our friends at Kemper Sports Management, but I enjoyed it. Who knows? It may not have yardage for you. It may not read a putt for you, but it might be the best caddy you've ever had.
You know, it might well be, because the we've tried in past travels, we tried the golf bike. That was very hard to put your clubs on that and pedal up and down the hills. That was a great workout, but that was maybe a little off the wall. And then I was kind of a photo op situation at Pine Needles in North Carolina, in which me and one of the celebrity types from there, Lee Pace, we were put on golf boards. And I wasn't too good on that. I wasn't ever a skier, and it was very difficult for me to do it. A fun thing, but I took a tumble, so I don't think I want to try that again. However, these golf trolleys, they like to call them electric caddies when they're trying to sell them here in the United States. Took a little time to get the hang of that, but I think they work. I think they work, and I think you get your walking in, and you it's a new way to play golf. I hope a lot of people be willing to try them. They were a lot of fun to do.
Well, Billy, if people aren't going out to the golf course today because it's underwater, you'll be ready to greet them at the door at Bill's Pizza, Jake's on Grand.
Yeah, we'll probably be, I think rain's better than snow for us. They get hungrier, in the rain than they do in the snow. So it should be a busy day for us. The preserve and maples, I think my expert opinion on the preserve is it probably handled the water. It's amazing. And maple, I haven't been over there as much in the last couple of years, but I don't know how that, that's going to get the knife pretty soon to take care of some of the drainage and remodeling traps and whatever. So
yep.
That'll be interesting,
It's nice that they've got Greg Martin coming back who did the work at the preserve, the golf architect, and he's going to take care of the Maple Meadows project. And right now, the group out there at DuPage Golf starting to narrow down the list of different options that Greg Martin provided for a renovation project. And, of course, the next step is As Ed Stevenson was telling me this week, is, you got to start looking at what you can get permitted and what you can't. And in some cases, the best design an architect can give you, if you're not going to be able to get it through the people with the permit power, various towns, communities, counties, so forth, et cetera, then, don't start building the golf course because it's going to come to a halt and then you're stuck. So we'll hope that the people at the DuPage County Forest Preserve District can work well with the people at DuPage County who hand out the building, the construction, the flood control permits, and all those other things. It's nice to get the water off the golf course, but you can't just move it in somebody's backyard that might be backed up to the golf course. And speaking of Greg Martin, his work is really rounding into shape over at Settlers Hill out there in Batavia. And at last word, there was a possibility at some point this coming week that golf course could reopen. Now, hopefully the heavy rains last night haven't set things back, but if they don't get Settlers Hill open this week, there is a possibility that it will open in the following week. So stay tuned to not only this program, but everything that we put out at golfersongolf.com. As soon as I get a word from either Greg or the people over at the golf course when opening day is, we will have that for you. And you know what? If you enjoyed the old Settlers Hill, you're going to love the new Settlers Hill. Greg Martin really working his magic there, and some of the views and a couple of new holes on that golf course. You will really enjoy this. I know, Len, you were out with us last year with Greg, and we drove around in a John Deere Gator and took a look at the property and really liked what we saw.
Yeah, that course is going to be a real stunner for when people from Chicago first start playing, people over here. It's got elevation changes that are really eye-catching. So you're in for a treat. I'd get over there and see that one.
All right. Well, time flies when you're having fun. And for us, it's time to put out here on this week's edition of Golfers on Golf Radio. I want to thank Brian for spinning the dials and getting us out to you. We thank our guest, Bob Malpete, for coming in. And unfortunately, it sounds like we had a tough time with author John Riley and his cell phone. And so his book, How He Played the Game, Ed Porky Oliver, Golf's Greatest Generation, former Western Open champ and Wilmington Country Club professional, the site of this year's BMW Championship. With that, for Bill Berger, Len Ziem, I'm Rory Spears. Have a great weekend, everybody, and go play when it dries up.
The preceding program, Golfers on Golf, was paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.